Good morning. The Hebrew Bible reading this morning should be very familiar to you. It's on page 63 in the Bible in the pews. In the large print Bible, it's on page 82. It's Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Hear the words of the Lord. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of God for the people of God. The psalm today is Psalm 19 on page 750 in the hymnal. Both pages, 750 and 51. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them God has set a tent for the sun, which comes forth like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and runs its course with joy like a strong man. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of a honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can understand one's own errors? Clear me from hidden faults. And keep your servant from the insolent. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 18 through 25. We found on page 156 in the Pew Bible and in the larger print edition. It can be found on page 202. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks.
Let me offer you all the opportunity to rise up on your feet for the reading of the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. I welcome you to follow along in your pew Bible. You'll find that section on page 87 in the New Testament, and in the large print edition, same verses on page 113. Hear these words. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to Jesus, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. My friends, if you think back to the first Sunday of February, at that time I asked you to think about the Jesus that you have in your mind, how he looks and how he behaves, and the impression this Jesus has left on your heart. How does your Jesus look? Take a look now at the picture of Jesus on the cover of today's bulletin. Is this the picture of Jesus that you carry in your heart? Probably not. But after hearing this passage from Luke's Gospel, don't you think this is a true picture of how Jesus must have looked? In the temple in Jerusalem, Jesus found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." Isn't this description a picture of the angry Jesus? It turns out that this story is found in all four of the Gospels. And the image that it brings to mind may well be uncomfortable for you. How do you feel about the Lamb of God making a whip of cords and driving all those animals out of the temple, violently overturning the tables of the money changers and yelling at all those who had made the temple into a marketplace? How does that feel? Would you rather keep your mind on the image of Jesus telling the stories of the Good Shepherd who leaves his 99 sheep in order to go off and search for the lost one and then celebrating? Would you rather remember the story of the prodigal son and the father's grand celebration when the wayward son returned to him? Well, it's critically important that you recognize that each of these images is a true picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus is fully human and fully divine. Jesus can be angry and he can be compassionate. God calls us to repentance and salvation and eternal life, and God calls us to justice. Because God is love, it causes God pain when we knowingly ignore God's commandments. It angered Jesus to see his Father's house, the holy and sacred temple in Jerusalem, be made into a marketplace by the very people who should have known and should have followed God's commandments from the Torah. When you use the divine gift of free will and you knowingly distance yourself from God through sin and neglect and apathy, it causes God great pain. God loves you so much that God spelled out the fundamental, foundational instruction that you should follow in order to live a full and meaningful and challenging life. This instruction starts with the Ten Commandments and continues throughout the Holy Bible. That is why God has called each of us out to be a people of the Word. That is why God allowed His only begotten Son, the temple of His body, to be torn down on the cross at Calvary and to be raised up again 3 days later. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish but may have eternal life. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. God loves you that much. Amen.